Blog Talk Radio.
And gosh, where is the Led Zeppelin? John, do you know where the Zeppelin is?
I don't know, Paul. We didn't really have much time to organize the show this week.
Oh, gee, there must be stuff going on. Well, hey, you know something? I could try to sing like Robert Plant, but instead I'm just going to welcome everybody to A Voice from In Radio. I'm your Red Pill Pharmacist, Paul Elam, here with JTO. And despite the fact that we don't have Zeppelin going on, we do have a whole lot of other stuff happening. If you have not been to avoiceformen.com today, you should scuttle on over there while you're listening and check out the articles, the top three articles, other than the show announcement, the other two articles on the site that have to do with information that has been revealed about members of the RadFem Hub website in their little private forum of people that to want to throw children through windows and lock people up in buildings and blow them up. And, you know, John, it occurs to me that, you know, it's always us. If you go over and read Man Fool or any of the other anti-MRA bloggers, it's always us that are being accused of violence, isn't it, or advocating it?
Or other kind of villainy. I mean, we're always the bad guys. You know, we are supporting rape apologists, or we're, I don't know, causing cancer, or who knows what. But it's we're always the bad guy, and that's sort of a good sign from my point of view.
Yeah, but you know, I've been charged with that a number of times myself when I have done things like question whether or not men should physically defend themselves when they're attacked by women. When I talk in what I think are predictive terms about unavoidable social violence that is going to come from oppressive policy, despite the fact that we have all of human history to document that's precisely what happens when you push people far enough in the corner and kick them long enough, eventually they come out swinging. And I've always prided myself on the fact that what we've really worked toward at A Voice for Men was to prevent some of that from happening. But, of course, during the course of that work, we constantly are berated as regressive, knuckle-dragging throwbacks that glorify violence and rape against women, and that feminism, oh, feminism, now there's the answer. If people could only see the light, that philosophy is about peace, it's about equality and fairness and justice, except when nobody's looking. And sometimes when they are. But when
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when they feel confident nobody's looking, and we're going to have, we're supposed to have Robert O'Hara, the AVFM news director, who's done a lot of work on the story we're going to be talking about tonight. He's going to be calling in, and we're going to speak with him first. And then we're going to have Agent Orange, which many of you have already read about, and we're just totally looking forward to that. But what we found is that when you turn on the lights, when these people think they're in a dark room, like novelist Pamela O'Shaughnessy, for one who has just proven to be literally a homicidal maniac, we're finding a group of people so hateful, so virulent, so violent, so violence-prone, that they ought to be arrested. And I mean that seriously. Now, I don't think that there's probably laws within the United States, but I know in places like Canada, there are laws against this kind of speech, isn't there, John? Isn't this something people can get arrested for?
Yes, it certainly is. In fact, a Canadian magazine publisher was arrested for something much, much milder than this, and more or less had his life ruined. But the laws in Canada prohibiting hate speech are a pretty tricky mess of snakes, particularly because those laws were put in place by ideologues in order to suppress the free speech of ideas dissenting of those of the people who put the laws in place. and so they are selectively interpreted, and they operate using a set of courts separate from the regular criminal justice system called Canadian Human Rights Commissions. And as much as they would be an effective tool in a case like this, I would be very, very skeptical of using such laws. One, because they're selectively interpreted, they're selectively enforced. Number two, by utilizing essentially thought police laws, you are giving credence and power to the thought police. So it's a pretty sketchy game to play if you're going to go that way.
Well, that is the question. And, you know, what I'm going to do now is that I'm going to go on. I've got my browser open here, and I'm going to go over to avoiceformen.com, and I'm going to start pulling some of this stuff, because I'm going to assume that there is a lot of people out here that may not know what we're talking about. There's certainly going to be people that haven't been to the site yet, even some of our regular readers and listeners. What this boils down to put this in a nutshell for everybody, and again, we should be talking more with Robert O'Hara and with Agent Orange later about this. But what we have is a group of people in a private forum at RadFem, short for Radical Feminist Hub, which is a website where a lot of popular, if moderate or radical feminists, do post articles. Fairly well traveled site. We were first made more aware of it by novelist Pamela O'Shaughnessy when she wrote an article there under the name Vliet Tiptree. And in that article, she advocated human scientific experimentation on men, possibly tampering with the food supply, and pretty much put forth an agenda to somehow reduce the presence of masculinity in the culture, to expertate aspects of masculinity, as she put it herself in her own words. We thought it rather unusual after we did some investigating and found out that she was not really somebody named Vliet Tiptree. She was actually a novelist who wrote for the publisher Simon & Schuster, who was a bestseller, who had actually had a very successful career as an attorney and as a Harvard law grad. And this is a person in mainstream society, and here she was out here under an assumed name, trying to protect her identity, talking about eugenics. And that caused a good bit of stir in our community. Not much interested from anybody else, because she was only, you know, going after men, so it wasn't anything anybody got too up in arms about. But when we exposed her for who she was in her position, she went underground, and she took her forum private. And then she turned up over at RadFem Hub as a participant named Karma, is what she changed her name to. And we are still talking about Pamela O'Shaughnessy here. We're not talking about some new person. And, yes, we are certain of this, for anybody questioning that. We're not going to divulge every detail of how we outed these people, because I don't want to give away the techniques, and this is not intended to be a training course on how to get away with this stuff so that MRAs don't catch you. But she shows up over on RadFem Hub, and she is now saying that mass murder, and I'm going to read you what she said, but what it basically boils down to is that mass murder is a possibility, is a last resort possibility. But to put her absolutely in her words, she says, "I agree basically with your analysis, though I have a different emphasis so far in the evolutionary biology stuff I'm looking at. You're more radical," and she's talking to another radical feminist on this side in this conversation, "though who knows where I'll be in a year." So she's sort of tipping us right there to the fact that she's not that radical now, that she wants to immediately go for murder, but hey, you know, who knows, give her a year and she may have a gun in her hand. But she says, "but your proposal to exterminate the male entirely, a la Solanus," and that is of course Valerie Solanus of the Scum Manifesto, who shot and tried to kill Andy Warhol, and who advocated for all men to be exterminated, if you will. She said, the male entirely, a la Solanas, is to me more of the last resort. Well, John, what do you make of that? Don't you think that's really good values and principle for her, that she won't go into murdering all of us unless there's no other option?
Yeah, I think that tells me that she's a true humanitarian. And I'm going to slightly interrupt what you're saying to just put a call out to anybody listening. If you're a member of a law enforcement office, or if you're a prosecutor and you'd like to bring charges, you should by all means contact Paul Leone or myself through the website. We will be more than happy to provide you with a mountain of evidence to make an airtight case and put a large number of people in prison. Carry on, Paul.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we certainly will cooperate with authorities who want information on, and that doesn't matter. I mean, we're located in the States, but if you're Canadian authorities, you happen to come across this broadcast, and you want the proof, we will provide it. But anyway, getting on to this nut basket out there that writes for Simon & Schuster and publishes novels and enjoys somewhat of a life in the public limelight as a good person, has now informed us that she only sees mass murder as a last resort. I mean, she's not going to kill us all unless, gosh, there just isn't another alternative to get rid of us that comes up that works better. She says that that she senses that her and her friend here are both non-biological scientists, but she says she's pretty good at wading through the scientific journals and getting to the gist of things. And she says, I think we can get quite a ways, is what I'm saying. We should only do this in these closed threads, obviously. And when she's talking about getting quite a ways, Pamela O'Shaughnessy there is talking about her first option, which is to go for eugenics, or some other form of mass destruction of males of the species. And then, of course, if that doesn't work, you know, she's all for them getting together and killing us all. I tell you what, you know, I had a rough time with this. We had intended to get out this article sooner, but we had some technical problems on the site, and stayed up till about 5 o'clock this morning rectifying all that, and then finally got it sorted out. And so these articles have only been out for a few hours. So I'm still coming off of editing both of those pieces, which is just, it's a treasure trove of information that leads us up into, and we're going to talk more about this in a bit, this isn't just Pamela O'Shaughnessy. This involves people across the globe in different countries that are involved with their government's policies and procedures in making law, in teaching at universities, and in taking care of children. John, was there something you wanted to add to this at this point?
Well, I think to a lot of people who haven't been following this, and I think the inside circle who've been helping us put this information together won't be shocked by it, but to outsiders, a lot of this is going to seem so outrageous, it's so outside the boundaries of normal behavior, normal criminal behavior, it's the material for a very extreme kind of supervillain comic. It's so outrageous. And I think because of that, a lot of people are going to have difficulty accepting that this is anything more than hysteria or fear-mongering on the part of a couple of angry men's rights activists, which is why for anybody who has any feeling that I've just described, by all means, please go read the articles and check the sources, because there is a huge amount of research that we've done to put this together and substantiate what we are saying. I'm not going to say how we did it, but this is all backed up by documentation. And again, if you're a member of a law enforcement agency, or if you're a prosecutor and you'd like to make a case, we will supply you with more evidence than you ever wanted.
Yeah, let me give you another example for listeners out there that are not familiar with another individual that turned out this on the site. And I'm going to give you her name. Her screen name at RadFem is she calls herself Alecto, A-L-L-E-C-T-O. Her real name is Danielle Pionian. I'm going to have to spell that for you because there's no way I'm going to pronounce his name correctly. It's P, like in Paul, Y-N-N-O-N-E-N. And she is a child care worker, I believe in Australia, and we'll get that confirmed. But she's a child care worker whose employer is unknown. One of the things that I want to put out here while we're talking is that there are a few little tidbits of information that are missing still, not about the identity of the people, but of the additional information of things like where they work and such. But I want to read you this, and I want to ask yourself, you listeners out there, if you think that whoever is employing Danielle Pionian as a child care worker might want to know her thoughts on the children that she's taking care of here. I'm going to read you this one, too. She says at RadFem Hub, "Thanks for the supportive comments, sisters. I honestly have been reassessing the fact that I'm giving care to these little future rapists and what that says about me and my separatism. I know it's kind of going against my principles to support and care for these little fuckers. The women I feel most sorry for are their mothers. The way these boys treat their mothers is really shocking, all while the mothers are trying to be perfect and loving and all that shit. If these kids were mine, there would be hell to pay." Well, you know what? Those kids aren't hers, John, but I'm not sure there isn't hell to pay anyway. And I can tell you one thing. If an individual that talked like that were taking care of my child, I believe I would want to know about it. What do you think about that, John?
Yeah, I'd want to know. I'd have my kid out of that person's care so fast their head would spin. But I think you ought to keep reading the additional part of what she wrote about her little lovely charges.
Okay, we'll just do that right now. She continues, "The worst of it is about 6 months ago, and she called this person a Mr. Rape Threat." This is what she calls a little boy in her class. "Was holed up in a corner with the same girl, and she calls the girl Ms. Harassment Victim." I'm not making this shit up, people. "And another two children were trying to pressure her into kissing Mr. Rape Threat." Oh, my God. You know, that's almost as bad as playing doctor. We need to get a prosecutor from Iowa over here. And she says, "I brought this up at a staff meeting and said that we need to protect Ms. Harassment Victim from Mr. Rape Threat. I was told in no uncertain terms that Ms. Harassment Victim was sexually precocious and liked to draw attention to herself, and that it was her fault that this was happening to her, and that she was in the early stages of being experimental with her sexual power over boys. Fuck that fucked up shit." Now, let me ask something else here, and I'm just compelled to. And just give me the straight dope on this, John, as you see it. Do you believe that she reported to the staff of a school that she felt like a female child was being treated in a sexually inappropriate way, and that she got told by the staff to pretty much mind her own business and that it was the girl's fault?
No, I actually don't. I think that she probably reported something. She probably told somebody something. What the words were and how she has spun it to suit her story on her little RadFem Hub, entirely a different matter.
Well, I tell you what, we have waiting in the wings here, and I want to bring him into the picture here now that he has been able to get in. We have Bob O'Hara, who wrote the initial story about this as it was presented at avoiceformen.com. And keep in mind, this story has gone out across the internet to several websites. You'll find it over at The Counter Feminist. You'll find it at antimisandry.com. I believe Christian Jay's blog is also carrying this story and a couple of others. But we have it up front and center on ours now, and we have our news director, Bob O'Hara, on the line with us. Bob, how are you doing this evening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I
Hello,
can hear you, Bob. Yeah,
okay,
a little glitch with the control panel.
That's fine. You probably hear me through my phone connection rather than my Skype connection, but that's okay.
No, we're hearing you. We're hearing you either way. Just great. Listen, you know, we've just been, John and I have been sitting here just going through just a couple of the statements, and there's so many more. And, of course, there, as I'm aware, that there's a lot more than you even presented in your article on the site. But why don't you just, if you could give listeners just a little bit of insight into what it was like for you when you just were all this information.
When I first saw the screenshots that Agent Orange showed me, I was like, I was bawled over. First of all, it was like RadFemHub was something that MRA has been talking about for months now. Pamela Shaughnessy and like this RadFemHub, and like, you know, of course we all like to pick on these radical feminists and stuff like that. But like we had proof that there was, that these people actually talk about really, really psychopathic things, and that they do it. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, even I was amazed at the real hatred that they were just freely expressing. I mean, to the extent where we're talking about gendercide, we're talking about eugenics, we're talking about discussing extreme acts of violence against men and boys. They're basically talking about like every hate movement talks about. They're talking about identifying an evil other. This sense of the other that must be destroyed. And it's just so obvious that these people are really pathologically hateful. But what was more alarming was this this connection between these screen names and these real people. And for a long time, you know, people, you know, when MRAs talked about, like, oh, you know, these radical feminists are just out there in the fringe. No one listens to them. They just operate in a vacuum. Well, guess what? They don't. These people are real. These people have a real voice in our education system. They have a real voice in our legislatures. They have a real voice in our media. These people, like, literally, if you look at these people, if you look at their biographies, they've spent their entire lives getting on the in so they can advance their hateful agenda. And MRAs have been telling people this for years, but we've never had any real proof. But now we do. And this is like a huge deal. When I saw this, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I mean, well, it's beyond crazy. It's like, this is absolute truth that things we've been talking about for years is absolutely true. And aside from that,
now, Bob, you went through a lot of this information, right? You read a lot through an awful lot of the PDFs they were placed in and the screenshots yourself, correct?
Yes. Yes, I did. Not as much as I would have liked to, but there's a whole lot there. I mean, there's a whole lot more coming.
Yeah, I understand. There's like 250 megs of information, but
in the
large amount that you went through, tell me this: did you see anywhere in any of those exchanges where I know that one woman was talking about wanting to take a kid and throw him out a window without bothering to open it, that there were other people that were just flat out saying, I wish we could just kill all men and that we can figure out some way to chemically influence the food supply so that sperm counts are lowered and infanticide. I mean, this stuff just went on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it never stopped.
Was there at any point in anything that you saw where a single person ever said, wait a minute, that would be wrong?
No. In fact, there were many instances where people actually complained that the posters in this forum actually complained that in their casual conversations with other normal people who maybe identified themselves as feminist or maybe not, that they said, wait a minute, you know, in their conversations with these people, that they were annoyed with the fact that these normal people they were talking to said, hey, wait a minute, I mean, really, is this violence talk really necessary? How can we really call ourselves feminists if we're all about violence towards men? And these people actually wrote in these forums that they were annoyed about this, and they thought that these people were turncoats. It was the exact opposite of everything. I mean, there was just no indication of anything that you just suggested. Actually, was the exact opposite. It was really, really bad. I mean, really
bad. So, in other words, they have issues with people that are not wanting to be violent.
They have issues not just with people who are not wanting to be violent. They have issues with people that like to have normal heterosexual relationships. They have issues with people they have issues with gay men who like to have normal gay relationships with other gay men. They have issues.
Hold on, run that by me again. They have issues with gay men who
have
relationships with other gay men.
Transgendered people, you know, we hear all this business about how, and we hear this a lot about, like, you know, with feminism, is they're all about, like, you know, sexual tolerance and all that, and well, these people certainly aren't. They are not, and
these are people. We're going to remind listeners over and over and over again, and I want you guys to hear this: that when we're talking about these people, when Bob said these people, we are talking about the components in feminism, the actual power in feminism today that is having an impact on policy, that is
absolutely, yes.
We're tying this to legislation being written, we're tying this to university rules. We are not talking, if you ever thought that this was fringe elements, you can't read these articles and you can't hear this conversation and maintain that argument anymore and be intellectually honest. These
absolutely
are
not
people influencing policy. And what Bob has just told you, and I noticed some of it that I read myself, and this is something I am going to be writing articles about, is that we know that many of the supposedly mainstream feminists have done a lot of work to co-opt the issues of gay rights and of this transgendered rights, and to bring them sort of in the fold as though they are activists for them. You know something? If you're gay or transgendered and you read through these articles, and if you read the article that's going to be coming from me within the next week or so, and you look at all the evidence, you're going to see just what kind of friends you have in feminists.
It's a big wake-up call for gay people and transgender people and people that I think, and this is the way I've put it for a while now, feminism has been a very parasitic movement. They have attached themselves to issues like gay rights, civil rights, environmentalism, you name it. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But at its core, it is a very hateful movement. And these people, when you look through all these posts, you see they are extremely cynical. And they talk about gay people as being useful idiots, literally. They direct their most extreme hatred towards transgendered people and bisexuals. And it's crazy. I mean, if you're a normal person, you read this stuff, it's like, oh my God. And these people, like you just said, and like I'm saying, like what's completely obvious now that we've identified many of them, these people are not fringe people. They don't operate in a vacuum. They are in our education system. They drive policy. It's crazy. They're publicists. They're in the media. They're people that, in some cases, rub shoulders with people who are household names.
Bob, let's call it what it is. This is not feminists on the outskirts. This is
no
members of the establishment. This is
members
of the government.
Yep.
These are people on policy boards. They're on peer review boards at universities. They're in publishing houses.
They've spoken at the UN. They drive UN policy, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
They are people with more political power than the average citizen. They are
absolutely
the established elite. And they
then the average politician.
Driven by an ideology of violence and hate. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and this might even, I don't know, seem a little off topic, but it's really not. But, you know, one of the thoughts I had is I didn't, even after staying up all night and working on the site and everything, I didn't sleep very well on top of this story, and probably won't sleep very well again tonight. But I, you know, I actually got the feeling is that what I was going through after reading a lot of this information, after doing the editing on the articles and prepping for this radio show and preparing for the onslaught, and, you know, and ladies in that group, I know that at least one of you, probably more, are either listening now or you're going to be once you catch wind that you've been outed. I just, the one thing I want to say, I'm going to gloat a little bit, because I feel like I know how Simon Wiesenthal felt. I can't wait to yank the covers off these worthless motherfuckers. I can't wait to out them. I hope they suffer. I hope they lose their positions. And I want to work toward making that happen. I hope that they are made into pariah, that they deserve to be made into. This is, you know, we've got a real struggle here. I'm gonna say this, and we're going to hear some more from Bob, and then I'm going to bring Agent Orange on. But here's my concern, and I want to throw this out into the conversation. We live in a culture now that is so god-awful misandric and so god-awful indifferent to anything that anybody does under the banner of feminism or gender equity, no matter how egregious. They could be wearing swastikas and brown shirts, and people would look at them and say, what's the problem? We've got people here that are literally, one person talked about throwing a child out of a window. Another person talked about locking men in buildings and blowing them up, and she was serious. And seemed aggravated that those pesky laws were in the way. The one, and I'll get to her name in a few. She's a university professor at the University of Edinburgh and Portsmouth. The most virulent kind of hateful speech, and she was conscious of it. She knew that she had to do this under covers. You know something? You know what I'm afraid of, guys? I'm afraid she may be wrong. I'm afraid she may not really have to do this undercover. I'm afraid that things have gotten so bad in this culture that she could get out on the corner on Main Street and stand next to a congressman and almost say all those things without anybody raising an eyebrow. That's what I'm concerned about.
Paul, I want to interject here. I'm telling you right now, I worked in higher education for 3 years. And there's no, I mean, I know that conversations like these have been happening over coffee and in faculty lounges. It's just like, there's no doubt that there's in areas of influence, I guess I don't know how to put it, in academia, in politics, in certain back rooms, in the media, in newsrooms, there are people who talk maybe not quite this bad, but insinuate it, and they understand each other, and the hatred is just that bad in many places all over. I mean, there are lots of people that think this way and talk about this. It's just, I agree with you. It's just about that bad. And these people have created this environment. These people that we're talking about. That's how I read it. John, maybe you have another analysis, but that's how I analyze it.
Yeah, I think
about
that's
the Canadian
also,
view, John?
I think Paul's concern is a legitimate one, is that this language that we find so outrageous and which they have for the moment hidden behind a fairly transparent screen of having a public forum and then restricting access provided them some measure of cover. But the fact that this is being discussed, the fact that they can quite freely discuss child murder, not just small scale one or two, you know, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
To discuss trapping and murdering men in buildings by nailing the doors shut and burning them down. As if that's a viable solution, not just sort of like a fantasy and we all elbow each other in the ribs and go, ha ha, yeah, we can't really do that. But they're talking about this as how on, as if they're figuring out what now, how can we get away with this?
Not just a viable solution, the final solution. Notice
yeah.
my paraphrasing. Seriously, the final solution in many cases. When
that's
you,
the kind of language we're dealing with here.
Yes, yes.
And we are close to having a society in which that conversation can happen in a cafe between two executives wearing suits, yapping loudly on their cell phones while they disturb the other diners, and go, okay, so you go to the hardware store and buy the blasting caps, and I'll meet you at the warehouse, and then tomorrow we'll make sure you're out of town because there's going to be a big blast. You're like,
yeah.
We're almost at a point where this can be discussed openly now, and that is a cause for concern.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I want to move on here now, and I mean, we've got the to me, we've got a lot of men and women of the year around the men's movement lately. There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things. I want to get to another one of those persons of the year in a moment. First, I want to give a shout-out to Raven01. I saw you in the chat room. Her name, the ladies that's a writer and a member of the Kingston Arts Council in Ontario, Canada, is Mary Surrett. And, yes, we will get you the proof, and we will develop a flyer for you, and you can drive up there and put 1,000 of them up for all we care, but we will get you the concrete evidence that you need to feel comfortable doing this. I just wanted to make mention of that because I noticed him in the chat room talking about that, and I hate to pass up an opportunity to address a real activist that is wanting to do something. But now, speaking of real activists, we had just call it a stroke of fate. I think it was inevitable. When we covered what happened with Pamela O'Shaughnessy, there was a man out there that decided, you know what, I don't think her just running off and going underground and spreading hate that way is acceptable. So what he did was that he infiltrated the RadFem hub. All this stuff you're hearing about tonight, it took a team of people to put it together and present it to you. It took, you know, it takes a couple of three people to do the radio show. It takes three, four people to put all this information together and get it to the website. A lot of people involved. But one person, had they not done what they did, none of this would be happening. We would still be sitting here talking about Sweden tonight. And I know everybody's sick of talking about Sweden. So I want to bring this person on now, and I think the story here is really remarkable of how you take on an identity of a feminist, you infiltrate them, you sort of go in and sort of live with the cockroaches, hopefully without getting too stinky in the process. But I want to welcome Agent Orange to the show. Welcome, sir. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah, I'm still trying to wash that stink off.
I bet. Well, so tell us, and I can't tell this story for you. What, if you don't mind, if you would, just tell listeners from the beginning what made you decide to do it and how did you do it?
I was looking around online. I trolled through several MRA sites, came across a singular screenshot, and decided to roll with that screenshot. I won't give out where I saw the screenshot, but some other enterprising MRA has been on this board before. They just didn't do their homework all the way. As soon as I infiltrated the board, notice, hey, I've got a register. So I went ahead and created a fake email address, created a fake identity, went ahead and got online. They took me right in, and that was with their registration closed. Now, their security protocols were extraordinarily lax. Now, once I started looking through, I literally went through the entire encyclopedia of their forum and pulled down all the evidence I possibly could.
Now, did they invite you to come into their forum, or did you just go there and apply for acceptance?
When I applied, they pretty much wanted to know who are you sort of thing, so I gave them a little victim story and moved on from there.
Okay. I guess the victim story was all it took. You qualified.
Absolutely. Everybody on those forums loves a victim.
Okay. Well, they're going to love each other now. So what was it like there? I mean, you came on. Did you comment to them, or did you just more or less lurk and read? Did you engage any of them directly, start any other kind of communications, or were you there mainly just gathering I hate to use the word intelligence, but gathering information and carrying it off?
Well, what I ended up doing at first was lurking around and pulling the, lack of a better word, intelligence. Once I started to realize just how deep the rabbit hole went, I decided that it would be a good idea if I stuck around for a little while longer. I went ahead and made a couple short end posts, basically saying, hello, how are you, that sort of thing.
Okay. And what was it that struck you about the place on your first impressions as you started reading through the post?
It's a nest of vipers. These people are about as hateful as what you could possibly imagine. I slogged through about 57 hours in a row just collecting data. And by the time I was done with the initial data collection, I couldn't sleep right.
Yeah, I bet. Was there any individuals in there that stood out to you as being more virulent, more hostile than the others, sort of like in a ringleader sort of way?
Oh, absolutely. We've got individuals such as Pamela O'Shaughnessy. She goes under the name of Karma.
Right
now,
and
used
and that's
to be
not
Blade
to be confused
Tiptree.
With our Karma.
We've also got another
Go
one
ahead.
Named White Tiger, also known as Lorraine Allen, from Hurleyville, New York. This one struck me particularly badly. She advocated male child abuse.
Yeah, can you tell us a little more about that? Now, I've already read some of the quotes from O'Shaughnessy, and O'Shaughnessy is somebody that a lot of our listeners and readers are well familiar with from, you know, all of her insanities that have been on the internet for a while. Do you have anything offhand that was quoted by this other individual that is the reason that she got your attention while you were there?
Oh, absolutely. White Tiger's particularly virulent.
Okay, and again, what is her real name again?
Her real name is Lorraine Allen. She works with special education in Hurleyville, New York, at the Center for Discovery. One of the things which she said was in agreement with Valet Tiptree, and I quote here, I see no problem at all with your paradigm, a pathology with no further evolutionary value to this species. Well put. I can't imagine that no one has written about it. If they have, someone in this group of women will probably have run across it. If no one has written it, you just did. As to the execution, so to speak, of such a modification, there's the rub. Nature appears to be taking care of the Y chromosome defect herself. But that's a long, hard slog in the course of a single lifetime, as you said. I don't have an answer, but it's a marvelous premise. Sort of a Sharon Osbourne style there.
Oh, delightful. Yeah, that's exactly what was running through my mind. So she was generally supporting the idea, really, of extermination.
Absolutely.
And this is a special education teacher?
Yes, she also advocated throwing a boy through a window without opening the window first.
Oh, she was the one that did that. This was the This is the special education teacher. And what is the town again?
The town where she's located is Hurleyville, New York. She works at the Center for Discovery.
Okay, all right. I want listeners to pay attention to the Center for Discovery at Hurleyville, New York. And one more time, I'm sorry, her name.
Her name is Lorraine Allen.
Lorraine Allen at the Center for Discovery at Hurleyville, New York, is the one talking about throwing a child through a window without opening it and seeing a lot of merit in a plan to literally exterminate men from the planet, and she is responsible for teaching and taking care of mentally handicapped boys. Am I saying this correctly?
Yes, you are saying this correctly. She has direct access to young children.
Well, let's hope that doesn't last. You know, I was saying, Agent Orange, before you came on the air, that one of my concerns was that we've gone so far down the road with this culture being misandric and the rescuing of people like this, that, you know, they may not have to hide. But I've got to believe on some level that school would want to know of this kind of speech, of this kind of a mentality, of her having ideations and fantasies of doing things that would kill one of the children in that school. Because I'm going to say this too, and there's a reason I want readers to know this. I'm going to be drafting a letter to that school, and here's why. Whether they do anything or not, if I send them a certified letter documenting this information and they do nothing and she does end up hurting a child, then that will put them into depraved indifference and gross negligence. They won't be able to fall on the defense that this is just one person acting on their own. They will have had knowledge beforehand that there were observations made of this woman's behavior that are totally inconsistent with any kind of standards that you would have for somebody taking care of a child or teaching them. Anybody else that might want to write that school and let them know that you're concerned for the safety of the children in that school, please do so. We will get the address of the school, we'll get the contact information, and we will have it up at A Voice for Men by lunchtime tomorrow at the latest. This is got to fucking stop, people. This has got to stop. If we can't stop this, really, honestly, if we can't stop this, then we all need to fold up our tents and go do something else. Because if we're at the point that somebody at a school is writing ideations of murdering the children she's teaching, and if nobody's going to respond to that, if we're not going to raise hell about this, if we're not going to raise our voices about it, and if we raise our voices about it and the school does nothing, man, I could find something else to do with my life that would be a lot less frustrating than that. John, I'm getting a little charged up. Would you take this for a couple of moments?
Sure.
I'm going to take a breath.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed in the discussion between, see if I can remember the name. I'm going to have to scroll here to get the name of the first person listed in the article, who goes by the name of goes by the name of Electo, who talks about Mr. Rape Threat. And this is a child in her care. She's a child care worker, and she talks about a small boy, and I don't know the age, talks about him using the term Mr. Rape Threat, who had said there was an overheard conversation between a little boy and a little girl, and the little girl said something that she would deny him, and he said that he would just rape her. This is the reported conversation in the Radical Fem Hub. I don't know if this is a real conversation, but it may be, or it may not. But the commentary in that thread was that this very outrageous statement attributed to a small boy is obviously the result of the corrupting influence of men on that child. He's already corrupted at such a young age. And the thing that occurred to me is that I was saddened by that it didn't occur to anybody in that thread was this is a boy being raised by feminists. Why on earth would you attribute that set of values to men when this boy is being raised by an avowed separatist, radical, murderous feminist?
I do have an answer to that.
I have an answer too.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. As I was going through here, I began to realize that there is some discussion as to whether or not the idea of masculinity is strictly biological or through nurture. Most of these people think that boys beyond the age of 4 to 5 are either already hopelessly indoctrinated by the patriarchy, or that their latent, inherent evilness begins to come to the fore. There's no such thing as a good male. They might be cute and cuddly for the first couple of years, but that Nigel, as they like to call him, will sooner or later turn against all women.
Wow. All I can say is, wow, how do you deal with that kind of thinking? I noticed a few people are making a comment about echoing on my phone. I'm pretty sure it's not my phone. And
it's not happening now,
gone away
John.
For the moment. Yeah.
John, it sounds
gone
good
away.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. But let's assume for the moment that this little boy actually uttered a statement that said something to the effect of, well, I'll just rape you. This is a boy raised by a bunch of radical feminists who's in a daycare or in the care of a professional child care worker who is a radical feminist, which means that he's already been taught by somebody. I'm not going to say by who. I'm going to only speculate because he's being raised by a child care worker who is a radical feminist that he learned that male-appropriate behavior is to opt for rape. That this radical feminist or someone like her has taught this toddler that rape is a male-appropriate behavior. I talked last week during the Sweden show about the level of depraved abuse of a child of denying them a function of their identity, specifically their sexual identity. I think that abuse that I was talking about has been lapped several times by this. Teaching a male child that rape, that a sex crime, that a violent crime is an appropriate behavior for your sex. No man that I have ever met in my life, neither a criminal nor a saint, would ever teach a child any such thing.
You know, I think one of the things, John, that we have to consider here and be mindful of, because I think you make a very valid point. We don't know the circumstances of what this child was raised in. Single mother, feminist sympathizer. He could have heard something on a television show, for all we know, and just emulated in class. We don't know. But what we do know is that whatever case is being presented by the by these lunatics on this site, it's not something we have to analyze in terms of debating it. I mean, we certainly have to evaluate what's been said on this site simply because it's dangerous. But do I think that anything that any of these insufferable bitches said about this little boy is to be taken literally or seriously? No, I don't. Am I going to argue to defend him from what they've alleged from him? No, they want to kill him. And they wanted to kill him before he ever opened his mouth, if he did, in fact, ever say anything. We don't know. These people are not worth, I don't think, that sort of analysis. We have a call we're going to take. We have a gentleman calling from Nigeria, and I'm going to let everybody know beforehand. I believe this individual called last week or a few days ago onto Dr. T's show, and I'm going to say a little bit about the call before we put him on. I want to give him a right to speak. But he is saying that this is Aziz calling from Nigeria, saying that feminists are not the real problem, it's the government. And Aziz, before I put you on, and I'm going to put you on here in a moment, I want to say something to preface it before we put you on. We know that the government is the problem. This is not news to anybody here. We are not shocked to hear this. But to say that feminists are not the real problem or not a real problem, you're going to get some difference of opinion from me and probably everybody else on that show, on the show. But with that, we do welcome difference of opinions here. And with that, I'm going to welcome Aziz to the show. Sir, welcome. And please, by all means, tell us what it is that you have to say.
Hi. Sorry. Hi. I'm actually, what I meant to tell Dr. T is, I told her to say Nigeria, as in I'm actually in Canada, but I'm Nigerian is what I was telling her to say.
Oh, you're calling from Canada, but you're Nigerian by descent. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
So,
okay.
So what I was trying to say there was, if we keep blaming, you know, feminists or whatever, like the moral question, when I mean say blame the government, the moral question is the initiation of violence. So, Jessica Valenti isn't the one coming to you or I to force us to pay her money. It's the government that comes to
agents
us.
Are.
Well, yeah, the government. So, say Verizon now. GTO the other day was give us this video of how Verizon, you know, was insulting men on how men are monsters and blah, blah, blah. What I could do from there is, you know, not buy Verizon product or you not buy Verizon product. Verizon can come to me and be like, I have to buy Verizon products, right? They can initiate force. But with the government, what they can do is force me. So if say I don't agree with feminism, the government can come to you or I that, hey, I have to buy their product. Like, I have to buy feminism product. I have to pay Jessica Valenti. Do you understand? So it's not Jessica Valenti that is coming to me by force.
Well, I understand what you're saying, though, but I think that what you're saying is a very, very small part of the picture, that you don't have it complete, because the government does, in effect, when they issue feminist-sponsored legislation, when we live in a system of feminist governance, they're not only telling me I have to buy feminism, they're telling me at gunpoint that I have to buy feminism.
Yeah, but that's the point. That you see, you just said what I just wanted to say right there, which is, we as a society right now, and this is in Nigeria, whatever, in Canada, we have that same system, which is we give a group of people the authority to put a gun to our faces, to initiate violence on us for the sake of good of the society. So what I mean is, like, say I want to build a road from here to my university, right? So we give, say, Stephen Harper is the president of Canada, so we give Stephen Harper the right to come to you or I by force with a gunpoint that, hey, you know, I want to build a road from here to university. And he calls it taxes, obviously, but so we give them the authority to come and initiate violence on us, to take money from us by force to build a road to university. But if I say no, which say if I came to you and I was like, hey, we want to build a road from here to university, even though it was good for you or whatever, you wouldn't, it is your choice. You could say no or you could say yes. I do not have the moral right to initiate violence or put a gun to your head to be like, oh, you must do this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the reality that I live in is very different, I'm afraid,
yeah,
than what you're saying. I
know,
I'm not forced to buy products. No, now let me talk.
Yeah,
right. I'm not forced to buy products. That's certainly true, and I certainly will never do business with Verizon. There is a lot of other products I won't buy. But however, if we're not just talking about social rules and customs and things like really bad videos done by telephone companies on domestic violence, we're talking about rape shield laws, we're talking about Title IX, we're talking about dear colleague letters, we're talking about the removal of the presumption of innocence, we're talking about the elimination of due process. We're talking about the elimination of your right to face your accuser. None of these things are being sold as ease. These things are being legislated, and you're right in that it is the government that's the problem. But who's driving the legislation? Who's pushing for it? Whose votes are being catered for? Well, it's generally women's votes. And who has the influence socially over the way women perceive government and laws and culture and how they vote? Much of that is feminist. So while I certainly agree with what you're saying, I think you make some very good points. I've got to tell you that I totally disagree with the idea that blaming feminism is a mistake. Blaming feminism is a really good place to start. And when we start outing these ideologues, putting them where they belong in public perspective, which is very evil people, then we can move on to what's been done in government and start taking care of problems there. Thank you for your call. Before we move on and go back to Agent Orange, I want to and include Agent Orange in this. Any of you have anything else you would want to say to Aziz?
Yes, yes, I do. When you look at the government, all you're looking at is a set of enablers. The ideology of feminism is where the real root of the problem is. Everything else is springing from there when it comes to the demonization of masculinity and the slow breakdown of the social mores within society.
Bob or John?
Actually, yeah, I do have something. Aziz, I think that, I think that the phrase comparing apples and oranges gets thrown around too much. But in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., and Australia, and increasingly in India, there is this incredibly hateful movement that is going through surreptitious, well, maybe not so surreptitious, administrative channels and governmental channels and media channels. That's all invasive. It's not as direct as somebody putting a gun to your head and telling you to do something. It is something I think that is actually much more pernicious than that. It is a deeply rooted cultural thing that we're talking about. That strikes to the heart of not just cultural identity, but gender identity. And these people that we're talking about have through the course of decades of their lives, have literally made it their life work to put themselves in a position where they, in a passive-aggressive way, call the shots on some very important policies, and not just policies, but social attitudes, and the entire public discourse on some basic things like gender. I can understand what you're saying, but I think that maybe, and I don't want to say that you don't have an appreciation for what we're talking about here, because I think you do. But I think that maybe the different types of motivity, as far as like how things happen in our society where we're at right here, are different from the things that you are maybe familiar with. I don't know. I hope I'm articulating this right, but I think that maybe we're talking about two different animals here. Someone else want to talk about this?
Well, if you're not, Bob, we'll send you a bill.
Okay.
I think
cool.
the point's been made. We can split hairs all day long. Is it government?
Sure.
Is it feminism? You know, my enemy is misandry. And I'm afraid I'm just not going to have anybody convince me that feminism isn't one aspect of the problem of misandry. They're just going to have a really rough time going in that direction. I want to go back to Agent Orange now, because I don't want to divert too far away from this. We are on the edge here, and I want to remind people this is going to take a little time. This is going to be a long-term project. We're going to have several articles. There are several people doing more research on this. This is the biggest operation that A Voice for Men has conducted so far, involving the most people with the most work. And our intent is to present the fruits of that work in a way that benefits the mission of A Voice for Men in the best possible way. So we're going to be seeing a lot of articles on this. We're going to be seeing calls to action. One of the things I want to do is by the end of the weekend, as we gather more information, we're going to put that school in New York on a list with contact information. We're going to be contacting other people. One of the things that we have to do is provide you the information, particularly starting where children are involved with these virulent ideologues, and making sure that whoever is in a position of authority or responsibility around those individuals and those children is aware of who they have in their employ. We're going to go directly in that direction, so you're going to be seeing more of that. You're going to be seeing more articles on individuals. I want to know who the employers are of the child care worker, the individual that I talked about at the beginning of this show that has these really terrible things to say about what little rapists and little fuckers they are that she has to take care of, and how she feels uncomfortable. There was a follow-up on that from another ideologue on there that talked about that women could exterminate male children just by refusing to care for them. They could starve them emotionally, starve them for nurturing, and that they would wither away and die. And you know something? That person's well aware. You don't touch a child. You don't nurture them. They do. They turn out terrible if they live. This is the kind of people we're dealing with, and a lot of them on this list are people that are taking care of children. They're in positions of responsibility for children. So our first attack on this is going to be to identify as many of these people as possible that have anything to do with taking care of children or setting policy for children. And we're going to start contacting individuals in the press, individuals that are employers, any other organizations that have to do with child protection, and letting them know what's going on. But to move on now back to Agent Orange, one of the things that I really wanted to get into here, because, you know, we're going to end up getting redundant. We've got a group, a large group of really hateful, fucked up people that are just, they're terrible human beings. They want to do terrible things to their fellow man. And we could sit here and go over each one of those stories individually, but they're going to end up being redundant because we've already established what's happening here. What I want to hear about is that, because this is the first time you have pretty much single-handedly, for the first time, made a connection that we've been looking for years, and that we've been telling people that these people are not about equality, they are about hate, they are about hurting people, it's what they really want to do. And we've had people say for years, oh, no, that can't possibly be true, they just want to make the same money for the same work. Right, okay. You finally have single-handedly busted that wide open, and there now is a link, and there will be 8 or 10 links people will be able to provide to avoiceformen.com for all days into the future, that anytime somebody says feminists are about equality, they don't even need to make the argument. They can just put that link there, and people can find out what these feminists are about. What I want to know is, how does one guy do this? Because we got a lot of one guys out there. And to me, this is some of the most inspirational stuff in the world. What is it about you that motivated you to do this? And what would you tell people that were considering, gee, I'd like to do something, you know, in along the lines of activism, but, you know, I don't know what to do? What would you say to those guys?
I'd say infiltration is going to be the key for online activism in the future. Right now, since this thing is blowing up, what we're about to do is polarize the situation. You're going to see a lot more feminists running over to the RadFems. You're going to see some breaking away. Right now is a great time, guys. All you need is a good story. You need to keep everything entirely separate from your real life. You need to be willing.
Let me back you up just for a second. I want them to get this bit by bit. I want to make sure all the information gets out there. When you say make sure you've got a good story, please tell people what you're talking about there.
Essentially, you need to make another person. That's what you need to do. You need to have somebody who's got some history, be it they came about this at an intellectual level or perhaps they were abused as a child. It's okay to have the by rote victim story because there's so many of them floating around. My God, you're not a feminist if you haven't been victimized. So create an entire individual and be prepared online to use that individual to its fullest extent. So you need to make sure that you cover yourself with multiple forms of media or social interfaces, Facebook, Twitter, a blog, something that gives this person that you've created a sense of realism. It doesn't take that long to do it. A couple hours at most just to get things rolling through the social networks and get a false email account set up. Maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes to come up with a base story that you write down, remember, and can spit out by rote if someone says, well, who are you? Once you've done this, it's not that hard to get into these places. And I'll tell you, an hour of work on your part and some well-placed comments can get you friends left and right. Now, these individuals will very graciously take you in and tell you, oh, you poor thing, feel free to use our facilities here. And by the way, we're planning against the patriarchy. Well, that just gives you all the impetus you need right there to go in and pull down all the information that you can. If you're on a forum, go through every single post. If you see something you don't like, pull it down. Get the software required to do it. Use something like QPDF or take a screenshot. Start cataloging this. Make notes of the worst of the names out there that are saying this crap. When all is said and done, you've got yourself a nice little cachet of all kinds of horribly misandric things that you can turn on your enemies.
Okay, and you're saying, so what you're saying essentially is that you get your identity as a feminist candidate or as a feminist together, create a Facebook account, maybe a Twitter account, that sort of thing, develop some history about it, and then go in and start doing the undercover here and there, and eventually you end up in the right place. I mean, it certainly worked for you.
Absolutely. Most of these people's security is very lax. They want new recruits. They can't afford to be so paranoid that they've got to give you a background check before they let you in. They can't afford that. They already know that the more people they get in and indoctrinate, the better off they are. If they don't think that you're made of the right stuff, well, they'll kick you off. If you drop a couple posts here or there, basically nodding your head in agreement, you don't have to say anything particularly hateful, but just nodding your head in agreement, chances are they'll let you stick around and let you collect what you need to collect.
Yeah, I would think it might be a good idea to suggest to people that if you're going to do this, that leading them is probably not a good idea in terms of your own credibility, that if you go in saying, here, I'm all about exterminating men, and then you expose them, they're likely to turn around with your posts and say, look, this person was creating that environment themselves. And so I think what you're hearing here is really good, sound advice that you fit in just enough for them to feel comfortable, and then you start gathering the goods on them. Do you hear that, feminist out there? You hear what's going on here? I'm just wondering if you're hearing this, that right now that we're just sitting here planning, and you're not going to know in your forums who's there, because unfortunately a lot of you aren't very bright. I mean, you may be educated, but a lot of liberal arts and stuff like that. But what you're basically getting here is advance notice. And you know something? You're not going to be able to stop it. You're not going to be able to continue. The days of being safe and undercover to organize this hatred and to pass it around are coming to an end. And I'm pretty happy about that myself. I mean, if there's anything in this whole godforsaken story that makes me feel happy, is what Agent Orange has accomplished here in terms of he has just changed the game. None of these women in this forum are ever going to be able to post again. I guarantee you that Pam O'Shaughnessy is going to have some little thought going around in that little mind of hers, that crazy little wanting to kill mind, every time she posts from now on. Because, see, she was out there as Vliet Tiptree, and she thought she was safe, and then she turned into Karma, and she just knew she was safe then, right? Hey, well, guess what, Pam? Not safe. Not safe for you folks anymore. We are definitely going to be taking care of that.
May I add something?
Sure, by all means.
I will say that this changes the entire landscape. What we've managed to do here is let everybody else know that come hell or high water, they cannot keep us out. If you do as I've suggested, get a team of 4 or 5 people, 3 you know that can write, 2 that are decent at research, have one guy go in cover and start collecting the information. The other guy starts finding out who the hell these people are. And eventually, you've got your team of 3 or 4 writers who come out with the goods on these people. They can't make everything private. They're too large to afford to do that at this point in time. They can't make policy in a vacuum. They can't indoctrinate people in a vacuum. And they cannot get their ideas across for world domination through snail mail.
No, they have to have the internet. That was something that Vliet Tiptree, Pam O'Shaughnessy, as Vliet Tiptree, said in her very first article that got our attention, is that the internet was the vehicle that would provide them their ride to where they want to get. Unfortunately,
yeah,
there's going to be people in the car with them they don't know.
She also wasn't aware that the terminal destination of that ride is a jail cell.
That's a point. There's that, too. I think there's also another destination in there for some of these women is going to be joblessness. I don't delude myself. We have a lot of work to do here. We know how hard it is. You know, if I say, oh, man, that woman made me mad, I wanted to kill her, I have 5,000 fingers pointing at me. You burn him, burn him. Abuser. And if a woman says, I want to cut the heads off of 50 babies and use them for bowling balls, they say, oh, she's empowered. That's the kind of world we live in. I know what we're up against. I mean, and it makes it all the more joke that these women can be sitting in these forums. I saw a lot of their talk about women's subjugation and whining and how oppressed and bad they have it. My God, they live lives of impunity. for this stuff, and it's going to take really dedicated, concerted effort on our parts in order to push forward what we need to push forward in order to hold them accountable and to make sure that they have consequences for what they're doing. But we, I believe, will get there. There has been a lot of signs in the world lately. I go back to the Wall Street Journal article on false rape accusations and the Dear Colleague letter. More and more people, I go back to George Christensen, who I am going to be in contact with shortly too, the MP from Australia that stood up and talked about the corrupt influence of feminists on families in Australian culture and how terrible it was. I mean, it was like one of those you know, the lights broke down from the sky and heaven came raining down moments for people in the MRM to watch this guy talk. And a lot of these people that we're addressing in this article and the one that I just published has a lot to do with Australian ideologues. We're going to be sending that information his way and to anybody else in the Australian government that might have an interest in the laws that are being proposed right now in Australia and really the people that are behind them. And if those guys don't want those laws passed, I know what politics is like. It's about discrediting people. We have the stuff to discredit them right now, and we're going to be sending it their way. We might even be able to have the effect of preventing some of these terrible laws from being passed. At least that's what I'm hoping. Bob, where are you going with this?
Actually,
what is your...
I want to say something in addition to what you just said. There was the name doesn't come to mind right now, but there was a PM in the UK who stood up in Parliament and accused feminists of being, you know, hate-filled bigots.
It was Donovan Rabb.
That's right. Now, I remember in some other PM, some feminist, you got up and said, "Oh, you're just trying to promote gender war, aren't you?" As I recall. Someone needs to get in touch with that dude and give him this information as well. And also, I want to say this now, and I want to do like a call out to all MRAs who have YouTube channels, who have blogs, who are capable of sending emails out to people. We need to reach escape velocity to go past the manosphere with this. We really need to press this onto people outside of the MRM and say, look at this and tell us that we're wrong. Or just look at this and, hey, are you not alarmed? We should do something. We as a society should really look at these people who have had a carte blanche as far as our social discourse on gender issues, and on issues such as domestic violence, sexual assault, education, all kinds of things. I mean, all kinds of things. We really need, this is really a call to action to really press this upon everybody else. And we can't really rely totally on the mainstream media to do it, but we can really use this stuff to make our voice heard in a big way. Because there's no avoiding this. There's no denying what we're looking at right before us right now. This is terrible. And we have the connection now between the mainstream, whether it be the media or government or education, and these hateful people, and like it's a very strong one, and we can't go denying it.
I'd like to add.
Yeah, that's a real good point. I also want to point out to people, too, that at avoicefromin.com, if you go into the masthead, you'll see we have a media contact page there that has hundreds of contact information for media across the Western world. You can grab any of those emails, let people know, send them links to these articles. And also, after the first of the year, A Voice for Men will be issuing a full-fledged press release on this once we've gathered even more information and vetted all of it thoroughly. We will be constructing a press release that will go out to between 30,000 and 35,000 media outlets. But nothing is going to help as much as what Bob just talked about. people from grassroots level reaching out to media, reaching out to different places. Contact the Drudge Report. Contact WorldNet Daily. Contact Fox News, CNN. Contact all of them. You never know when you're going to find somebody that says, hey, you know something? I want to write about this. And then that's all it takes. If this story, the first story like this, that we are successful in getting traction in the media, it's game over for that group of ideologues. They're going to have to be replaced with others, and they will be. But then the war is really on, and we really have to make that happen. It's us that have to do that. There's nobody else that's going to.
There's no one else that's going to do it but MRAs. No one else is going to do this.
And with that, I want to do one last round. I'm going to give everybody a chance to speak that's on here. And then we're going to close the show out. I want to start with Bob. If you want to maybe tell us more about what you're going to be doing in the future with this story, because I know this is not your last article. What's going to be happening with you in the future? Where do you see this going? And if there's anything else that you want to add to this?
I see this as like basically keeping track of what's happening with these people after they've been outed. If someone gets fired, there needs to be a story. If more public officials speak up about this, there needs to be a story. That's kind of where I see it going. And also, of course, you know, pressing people to publicize this more. that's where I see this going in the very near future and possibly over the next couple of months. Because in addition to that, if somebody, if a major news source starts covering this, and that's a very real possibility. We can take the MRM can take advantage of that and say, hey, look, sure, these are radical feminists, but look at what this so-called, but we have to say we can't divorce this from, these people who call themselves feminists can't divorce themselves from these people, these so-called mainstream or soft feminists. They can't say, listen, we don't know anything about these people, whatever. No, these people have been like they've been at the driver's seat of feminism for the past 40 years, 40 plus years. You can't just say you're not part of that. And look at what so-called mainstream feminism has given us. They've given us a war against boys and men in higher education. They've given us a family court system that is so totally oppressive against men and fathers, particularly. They've given us a media that's so misandric. They've given us a culture that is really messed up. They really have screwed up a whole lot of things. And you can't, we have to hold these people to task. We have to hold these people who call themselves, well, I'm just like a mainstream feminist. We have to hold their feet to the fire with this, because this is the fire that I'm talking about. This right here, and there's more to come. There's a whole lot more to come. In addition to that, I'd like to say hats off to Agent Orange, man. This is like really, this thing like totally like
Amen,
fell
brother.
In my lap. I mean, this was a nut that's been waiting to crack for a long time, and this really, just to say that this has the potential to be something big. Now that's an understatement. This is really, really something huge, and we need to take advantage of this. And when I say we, I mean everyone listening to my voice right now, everybody who identifies themselves as an MRA, or anybody that just cares about this stuff, anybody that cares about anything at all in regards to these issues regarding men and how messed up things have become over the past several decades. This is a real, real, real deal, and we can make this happen. And seriously, thanks to Agent Orange for making this happen, because totally, this is a real big single-handed blow to feminism, to a really hateful movement that's been screwing up our lives for a long time.
And let me add to what you're saying, is that I will even at the risk of somebody throwing rocks at me, I will add some feminists to the picture. If you're one of the feminists out there that have been saying, oh, that's not all feminists are like that. We're not like that. Feminism is about equality. Fucking prove it. If you're a feminist that is about equality, if you're about equality under the law, if you're about equalitarianism, if you're about human decency and fairness, then you look at what people are doing in your name and do something about it. Fucking do something about it. Do not sit there and say, oh, that's not me. Feminism is not like it. Because if you do that, you're just like them. Just exactly like them. You're just
or you're just
there
terribly
like a
deluded.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we don't have room for your delusions anymore. Nope. And we don't have room for your denial anymore. If you think you're a feminist and you believe in equal rights and you believe in fairness, then you tell me what you think about people calling themselves feminists are sitting around talking about murdering children, murdering other human beings. Does that sound like your quality? Like I said, you fucking do something about it or you shut the fuck up because I'm tired of this stuff. John? JTO?
Sorry about that. I had my mute on so that you couldn't hear me typing.
He's already at work, folks.
One of the things I'm going to say is I'm going to repeat what I said earlier tonight, that if you are a prosecutor anywhere in the United States or Canada and you would like to make a case, contact Paul or myself. We will supply you with a mountain of evidence. Number two, if you're a journalist and you have balls, I dare you to run with this story. I double dog dare you. The first one who does it is going to make a huge name for themselves. The first mainstream journalist who runs with this story is going to make their name. I'll say that again. The first mainstream journalist with balls big enough to run with this story is going to make their name. Is it you? Get off your ass and do something. Number three, another repeat of what Paul said. We hear all the time people saying, oh, this is terrible. This doesn't represent my feminism. And this is just appalling. And it makes me sick to my heart. And it's so unfortunate. And I just feel awful that these people are doing that thing. Oh, my goodness. And now I'm going to go have a piece of toast. Well, if that's you, if you feel terrible, if you're sickened by this, if you have human decency and you identify as a feminist, maybe an equal feminist, an e-feminist, or an egalitarian feminist, or a friendly feminist, or whatever fucking brand name of the goddamn thing it is that you are, prove to me, to Paul, to anybody, even to yourself, prove that you are not simply a useful termite providing cover for murderers. Get off your ass and do something other than typing a concerned email saying how sick to your heart that this makes you feel. Otherwise, you are exactly like that. And with that, Paul, I think I have some instructions on medication to provide unless we have anything else to cover.
Well, I want to give Agent Orange the flyer, the floor. I want to give him some flyers, too. I want to give Agent Orange the floor for a couple of minutes. With my thanks, let me again, sir, extend heartfelt thanks for what you were able to pull off. And I hope you do this again and again and again. Because, you know, with practice, we all get better at things. And who knows, you may bring them all down before it's over with. But is there any parting thoughts that you have before we close out for the evening?
Absolutely. I've already got my next two targets in line right now. I'll be doing some cleanup work on the current data, and I'm going to publish it next week for the entire world to see. Every single bit of it, everyone will have. Once I've got the data cleaned up and everybody gets it, I'm off to my next target, maybe under the same name, maybe not. If we happen to run across each other somewhere way deep in the rabbit hole, well, we'll team up and make a party of it. Thanks, y'all.
Now, thank you very much. Folks, it's been an outstanding show. I have had a really interesting 24 hours with the site going down and the frustration of trying to get it back up and running, and we were coordinating all these articles. And, of course, the site went down when we were in the middle of trying to coordinate two articles and this show with other websites at the same time. It's just that's how life works sometimes. You know something? MRAs, baby, we got the shit done anyway. And we were going to get this job done. That is about it for tonight. We will be back a week from tonight. We may be talking about this. We'll definitely be talking about this, at least in part. We will probably have other subjects, too. You have another show, and I don't know the topic yet, but you have another show coming up Monday night. Dr. T will be back with us from ashrinkformen.com. And, I mean, her last show was just awesome. It was really good. And I'm sure she'll be pulling off another one come Monday. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to John, who has a little plastic bottle with a white cap on it. And inside of it are some round, orb-like objects, the color of crimson. And he has some instructions for them.
Yeah, and that is take the red pill.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. This a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now every and until the ignoble and unhappy regime that holds our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, subhuman bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed, well, every